Our times call for an awareness of history that can help our children grow up and make history in answering the call of God on their lives. Today, it's my great pleasure to welcome Philip Campbell, a beloved Catholic historian. Stay with us.
Welcome to Homeschooling Saints, the podcast that helps you create the homeschool you love for the people you love. Our host is Lisa Maladnik, a Catholic life coach, TV host, best-selling author, and an instructor at Homeschool Connections.
Hi, I'm Lisa Maladnik, your host, and today's topic is making history with your homeschool history lessons. It's my joy to welcome a great author and a beloved history instructor, Philip Campbell. Let me tell you a little about him before we get started. Philip holds a BA in European history from Ave Maria University and a certificate in secondary education from Madonna University. He teaches history for Homeschool Connections and is the author of the popular Story of Civilization series by Tan Books. He has also authored historical books with the Catholic History Textbook Project, one of my favorites, from also has worked with Ave Maria Press and ARX Publishing. That's ARX Publishing. He is the founder of Cruachan Hill Press, an independent Catholic press specializing in works of history. Philip is also the host of Faith Matters, a program on Good Shepherd Catholic Radio in Jackson, Michigan. He has appeared on Ave Maria Radio, Guadalupe Radio, EWTN, and many other Catholic media outlets promoting the study of Catholic history. He's a frequent speaker at homeschool conferences around the country. He's also part of his own local histories, having served as the town's mayor for two terms. He lives with his kids in a 1930s farmhouse on 5 country acres. Please check out Philip's website at philipcampbell.net. I'm going to spell that out for you. It's Philip with 2 L's. Campbell, CampbellNet. It's chock full of fascinating resources, even more accomplishments and exciting opportunities to connect with Philip and enjoy his wonderful wit and wisdom. He's a lot of fun. Welcome to the program, Philip. So good to have you here.
Thank you. What a nice intro that was.
Well, I'm super geeked out because I love the Catholic Textbook Project. I'm really excited about your new work, which we're going to talk about today. You're a very popular instructor at Homeschool Connections, and you've just done so much that is so worthy of all that I feel Catholic families are trying to do, especially in our times. So thank you. Thank you for being here.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, it's really an interesting time, but tell us a little bit, just start us off, Philip, but what got you interested in history and have you always loved it?
Yeah, I have always loved it. I can't even remember when I started getting interested in it. I remember always having historical interest from a very young age, like asking questions about what happened and how did things get there and just wanting to know what was going on before I was on the scene, you know?
Yeah.
And my mom was in college when I was very little, and I remember she had like history 101 classes for college, and I remember she would bring home her textbooks and I would like flip through them and look at the pictures and stuff. I always thought it was interesting, and my study of it just kind of increased over time. I studied it through high school, and then I just kept studying as a hobby, and then eventually when I sorted out what my vocation in life was going to be, that I was going to be an educator, it was like the only logical choice for a subject to teach. So I've just made it my kind of life's mission to dig into it as much as I can and to facilitate a greater understanding of the world and how we got here and help me understand myself too, I think. So for me, it's just always been there. It's like a constant companion I've always had as long as I can remember.
So neat. For some reason, I'm just getting pictures of you making wooden swords and fighting old battles. Were you that kind of kid?
Yeah, I was. I had all sorts of, my parents had a lot of land also when I was young, and we lived by some state land that was all like wilderness up in southeastern Michigan. And I would always go out in the woods, and I had like a huge arsenal of wooden swords and spears and, you know, homemade. When I was in seventh grade, my dad helped me build a crossbow, and, you know, I was always going to the Renaissance Festival, and, it was, it, I spent lots of times like outside playing history, you know, like pretending I was a warrior or something, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's such good stuff. I mean, some of the just greatest children's literature out there is just so inspiring. I remember my daughter when she was 3 years old watching some of the Disney classics where there were, you know, like Sleeping Beauty, where the prince does battle with the dragon. There's so much of that in our real history of the good standing up against the evil, of fighting for everything that we hold dear. And she was always making swords out of sticks and wanting to fight the bad guys.
Oh, good for her.
Love that kid. She has a black belt in karate now. So put us in the context of this new book. And what got you started on creating it? Tell us about it.
Yeah, so this is the book right here. I have a copy in front of me. It's not too large. A dedicated person could probably finish it in a day or two. So the Catholic Educator's Guide to Teaching History came together really last year because I kept getting all these questions from parents. About various aspects, parents and students. I'd get questions like, "Oh, like, do you have any tips for memorizing dates?" Or "How do I take notes in history class?" A lot of emails from parents over the years about a scope and sequence, like, kind of, you know, well, we have 4 years to plan history in high school. What classes should we take? And then probably the most common question I get that I hated getting all the time was like, "Can you recommend any other resources?" You know, and I hated getting that question because there's just so many resources and it's impossible to summarize. And I always would respond like, "I don't know." Like, you know, I'm the history teacher, but I don't really know. I can't off the top of my head think of all these resources. And then there'd be other homeschool moms out there that would, I mean, God bless them. They'd do the footwork and they'd put together like, "Here's 50 books on ancient history, you know, that can go with a history class." And I was like, wow. So I was getting all these questions. And I think I said in a Facebook group, I said, I should just write this all down. And all these moms were like, "Please do." So I did. I went through I looked at some of my own historical essays that I'd done addressing some of these questions, compiled a lot of resources that I've come across, tips from my own teaching career, 10 years teaching in a live classroom. And then I'm now in my 11th or 12th year in Homeschool Connections in a virtual classroom. I kind of like lumped it all together, what I think is the core, the philosophical and practical core of the Philip Campbell method. Mm-hmm. And I tossed it in this book. And so now hopefully the parents have something that will be helpful and to go by. And of course, I'm still going to get the emails. That's fine. But, you know, now I can send them a link to a book too.
Okay, great. So these are all the questions us moms and dads are dying to ask you when our kids get all lit up about history in your classes. Speaking at a homeschool conference or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say these are the most important things. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So great. So this is something we all need on our shelves. This is going to be a really good guide, a place to go to get our questions answered. That's fantastic. So
I think Maureen Whitman has she has a great book called For Love of Literature that is like the resource to go to for people who are trying to teach homeschool through a literary method, through literature. It's got so many resources and everybody has it. I'm hoping this will be that sort of book for history where when people are like, "What are the history resources I need? How do I do this? How do I get my kid to memorize 20 dates?" You know, like, I hope that this book will be a similar go-to.
Oh, that's so much fun. It really does make us feel, you know, less intimidated to have a guide like that.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah. So history as a subject. Why is it important that we make the effort, and perhaps in our times, why now more than ever?
That's what I tackled in the first chapter, just why is this an important subject, you know? And people will leap to very practical considerations like, well, you know, if we don't know history, then we will keep repeating the errors of the past, you know, or we need to be able to recognize what's going on in our world so we can confront it. And those are all valid. Those are all valid reasons. Obviously, a lot of bad things have happened in history. And, you know, human nature doesn't change. So there's certain patterns to how things unfold. History doesn't really repeat itself, but there's similarities that keep happening throughout time. So to be aware of historical patterns, that's very valuable to interpreting what's going on in our own day. But I also don't really view, I don't view history as something that we're condemned to to repeat the errors of. There's a lot of great things in history too, a lot of things I'd like to repeat if we could. So I think that's only part of the picture. History, for the ancient Greeks and Romans, it was part of the seven liberal arts. History even had its own muse. The Greeks had nine muses for things that required inspiration. The muses were goddesses of inspiration. And the muse of history was Clio or Cleo. I don't know how to pronounce it. Cleo, the proclaimer, the one that proclaims the things that have come to pass. But history was lumped together with things like art, poetry, music, and things like that, which is very much not in the realm of like the pragmatic or practical. You know, it wasn't a discipline that they thought was going to make you a buck, you know, or keep the lights on in the house. You know, they lumped it together with poetry, artistic endeavors. It was a creative endeavor. And the reason for this, I've reflected on it and read a lot about it. Cicero has an excellent quote. He says, "To be ignorant of what occurred before you were born is to remain always a child. For what is the worth of human life unless it is woven into the life of our ancestors by the records of history?" And I started thinking, if someone has complete amnesia, like if you or I were to wake up and lose our memory of everything that happened before us, we would effectively lose our identity if we lost our memory. Because a person who doesn't know where they have been does not know who they are, right? So in a sense, we would be like that's why Cicero says we're like a child if we don't know where we've been. So historical study, beyond the practical reasons for it, beyond the societal value of having an educated population, citizens that know their own country's history and their people's history, there's a very intimate kind of character development that comes with learning history that has to do with helping us understand our own selves better, helping us understand human nature better. It's like an enrichment of our own personhood that helps us get down to our roots. Aristotle says that the fundamental definition of a human being is that humans by nature desire to know the causes of things, right? That's what underlies all science, right? We see a comet in the sky and the ancient astronomer said, "Wow, what is that?" You know, or they saw two stones that magnetized together and they didn't understand. And they said, "Why does it do that?" You know, human beings desire to know the ultimate causes of things. And history is very much in that same vein. We see, we see it when ancient stone wall or a beautiful building, and we just say, "Where did that come from?" You know, what were the people before me doing? So I think it ties in with, you know, it ties in with the human desire to know in general, and in a very particular way, it's a way of, it fits in with the liberal arts, those disciplines that we study for the purpose of not learning how to make a buck, but enriching our own personhood, that they teach us how to think, how to process where we've been as a country or a race of beings on this earth. So it's of immense value. Are you going to get rich studying it? No. but it's the same reason why we read a good book or watch a good movie. You know, it helps ennoble us, I guess, to know these things.
Oh, yeah. And I feel like, you know, so many of us homeschool partly because in our times, historically, there's a lot less of this deep reading and reflecting happening. The pace of society, the digital distractions, the formation that the generation that is rising to power has had of you know, kind of Marxist indoctrination in the universities, things like that. There's this movement away from thinking and reflecting, of having that context for understanding ourselves, our capabilities, our human tendencies, even the things that we can reflect on with pride, the things that have gone before us that we have managed to build or overcome. A wonderful lady that I had on the podcast at the end of the last season, Annabelle Mosley, talked about how her kids were really upset by the pandemic, and she showed them a picture of their grandma. And was always smiling, and she talked to them about grandma and how wonderful and what a happy person she was, and got them to talk about how, what a wonderful and happy lady she was. And then said, well, she went through the Spanish flu, World War One, World War Two, you know, like she went through all the massive, like disruptive, disastrous times that she and her family had endured, and yet emerged right. This happy, strong, beautiful soul. And so it gave her children courage. I was so impressed by that.
That's a very moving story. And I definitely agree with what you said about like historical literacy is so bad right now. It's for the reasons you said. There's ideological reasons why it's good to, or not good, why the people in charge think it's good to detach people from their historical heritage. Because like I said, if you don't have your history, you're like a blank slate, really. And you can kind of wipe out culture and tradition and remodel it on your own, you know, on your own vision. But just like what you're saying too, the digital aspect of things, everything is so, you know, it's so quick. Something that happened 9 months ago is already, you know, old news, you know. So what value does a person having in reading something that was like 1,000 years ago, you know, to how is that of value to their life when they have a hard time staying constant with things that just preceded us? You know, everything is just moving from one thing to the next very, very quickly. So to learn history is really to go against the grain right now, to go against the grain of how contemporary society is just structured. I think that's what makes it so rewarding. Like I always feel like I'm doing something like revolutionary by sitting in and reading a book all night, you know, like to take in this information. And it's like, no, I'm not going to just watch Netflix. I'm going to read this history book. And, you know, it almost feels like a secret revolutionary act.
Yeah, it kind of is revolutionary. I was watching something, I forget the name of the company, but it's pretty interesting. Maybe I'll throw it in the show notes. It's a little animated stop motion review of what happens when tyrants rise to power and the conditioning of the population. So it was a good, quick mm-hmm. little history lesson with a lot of good references in it. And it gives you the sense that there's a pattern to things. And and so that's one of the things that we can notice. But another thing that you mentioned when you were talking about it so lovingly, this idea of, on one of the things that was in that made me think of it, was they said that the way to fight against a tyrant, there's two ways. One is to have little sort of parallel cultures within the culture that are doing things differently, that other people mm-hmm. can see, and they can be reminded that things can be different. It doesn't have to be as the powers say it must be. The other thing is to mock what is hypocritical and to use humor. In the context of how we can bring an environment of that kind of cultural awareness, what's good about our culture, what we can hold on to even when others are tearing it down. Tell us a little bit about what it is like to teach in the home. What are some of our challenges? And you know, gird us for the battle here.
Yeah, well, homeschooling really is a parallel culture outside the mainstream culture. And this is really how Christianity became established to begin with. Christians were a parallel subculture within the larger Roman culture that eventually became the dominant culture. So we're standing in a long tradition of things Christians have done to avoid having to participate in a system that we have regarded as morally compromising. So when you homeschool history, you really get the opportunity to go outside what your kids would get in a public school or even a private school that's kind of anchored to the public curriculum. The public history curriculum isn't terrible. It's just that it's too abbreviated. It's too much focused on just U.S. history. World history is just smooshed in. Not enough. You barely get to study anything in detail unless you're taking like AP U.S. history or something like that. There's a great urgency to fit in certain courses and stuff before you graduate. And the historical study doesn't really begin in earnest until the upper grades, until like seventh, eighth grade. So I think when you homeschool, you get a greater chance to go into a lot more depth and study these things with way more attention than you would in a public school. And that just connects us to our history so much more. Like in public school, you might spend, you might spend 1 or 2 days talking about something like the Reformation. Whereas, at Homeschool Connections, for example, I have a semester long class on it, where we spend the whole semester studying that period alone. In public high school, you're not going to be able to load up with too much history because they're going to say, well, you still need to get all this math in, you need to get this, you only have so much room. When you're homeschooling, it's like you can do as much as you want. I mean, it depends on your state's requirements for reporting, if any. Michigan's the Wild West. We don't have any requirements, so we do whatever we want.
Awesome.
But, you want to spend, I have three semesters of ancient, actually four semesters of ancient history. So if you wanted, you could spend literally 2 years studying just ancient history in my courses, and you could still take other courses also, So I love the flexibility that homeschooling gives to be like, we're going to craft our own curriculum based on our own interests and kind of our own formation. And that's really that's what education should be get more reattached to. Like, what is the kid interested in? If the kid wants to study more history, then let's dive into it. If we want to do something very specified, we can, And I love that when you're homeschooling, you can do things like go on field trips and, instead of sitting home and looking at a book or watching a PowerPoint, you could be like, okay, we're going to actually go out and look at the Indian mounds or do whatever, visit Philadelphia and see the Revolutionary War sites. It just helps so much to attach the student more. And of course, as Catholic homeschoolers, it can be integrated with everything else we're doing. If we're studying medieval history, we can integrate it with different saints that we're learning about, who have various, lessons for our spiritual life. We can integrate it with literature. We can do kind of a whole subject curriculum where the whole semester is built around that time period. And we can do almost like a full immersion education experience where we're living and breathing the Middle Ages for that semester, and that's a real neat experience. So I just think the possibilities really dance circles around what you're going to get in a government institution, where everything is administrative and bureaucratic and focused on meeting standards and, assessments and things like that. It's just going to speak to the child's personal development way more. And it's going to be way more in the image of the sort of education you want to give. And so I think that's really good for what you were saying about those parallel societies within the culture. If the culture at large is trying to practice massive historical revisionism or erasing the memory of our history or trying to tell us what narrative we should fit our history into, it's really helpful then to be able to, to be able to have a way to buck that and be like, no, we're going to do something different that doesn't take us down that that path. So I just think it's just a great option.
One of the things I love about, the Catholic Textbook Project is that there are times in history when major figures came together in churches to pray before a big battle, or there were orders of nuns, that were dedicated to praying for a particular, some kind of repelling an offensive or something like that. Like, there were just so many things and they're so colorful and beautiful to look at. But the stories really came to life for me and my daughter because, and for other kids, because I was part of a co-op at the time. just the way history, when it's woven together, honestly, can show us our Catholic history, our human history, our political history, our cultural history, so much that we can become aware of our own agency in creating future history, right? Our own participation in it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the great, one of the awesome things. And I talk about that in my second chapter about teaching history to different age groups, where I say, here's how you teach it to elementary school. Here's how you teach it to middle school. With elementary school in particular, you teach history in a way that's person-centric because kids identify with people most. So you do it through introducing them to historical characters, you know, and learning about their lives. And that helps, that really, one of the benefits of that is it helps young people to see like, wow, these people were very much like me. They had their own struggles, their own, I mean, even if they wore different clothes or whatever, you know, they had their own challenges to face. They had their own decisions to make, and they were part of this great tapestry of history. And like you said, recognizing our own agency in things, that's really important too. I think people who have a lively historical consciousness are going to be much more aware of their own agency than people who don't. People who don't very much just kind of view themselves as passive instruments and kind of something, a river that's just moving them along, you know, which is, you know, probably not the best approach.
Yeah, beautiful. It makes me think as a mom too, when we look at our history, we need to look at it warts and all, right? Our current historical tendency is to over-highlight what was negative and blow it way out of proportion and make it a death sentence for the rest of us. Like, we made these mistakes, this is who we are. But we would never do that to a child, hopefully, in a healthy environment, yeah. Right? We look at what we learn from where we made mistakes so that we can make tomorrow even better. And so, yeah.
Yeah, and that includes mistakes that Catholics have made. You know, we don't have to. I was just talking about using homeschooling to counter the prevalent ideology. I mean, that doesn't mean that we just replace it with our own ideology that whitewashes everything. You know, obviously, we want to fully embrace and acknowledge whatever dark spots we have on our own history. That's the only way to really come to terms with things or to integrate things into our historical consciousness. We can't pretend that bad things didn't happen or try to just explain them away. Best we can do is just take a very balanced view and say, yeah, this was the past. Everybody makes their own decisions in their own time. And some of these decisions were great and other ones were terrible. and hopefully, like you said, we learn from them. But the important thing about studying history is understanding historical times and people as they understood them, not as we think we should judge them and view them. You know, we want to, you know, when I study ancient Sparta, for example, I want to know how the Spartans viewed themselves, what they were thinking, what they believed. It doesn't really matter what I believe about the Spartans beyond my own personal opinion. I want to understand them in their context. I want to understand American history and it's, you know, I want to know how people at the Revolutionary War thought, not what I think about what they thought, you know.
Ooh, so great distinction.
And the same thing with, yeah. And the same thing with Catholic history, you know, when I study a Pope or some saints or something going on in the church's history, I want to understand what was motivating those people at that time. I don't just want to form an opinion for the purpose of using it in some like contemporary punching bag sort of where I can hit somebody with a fact to try to make a point that I care about, you know? So, and I see so much of that all over the place, you know, history really needs to be studied for its own sake, just because, you know, just so we can be educated, so we can understand. That's why it's a liberal art. We study it for its own sake.
Beautiful. All right. So to take us out, why don't you say a little more about resources in the book and anything else that you'd like to leave us with, Philip?
Yeah. So
and say the title of the book again, please.
Oh, the book is the Catholic Educator's Guide to Teaching History. And you're going to put an Amazon link, I think, on the post so
Absolutely.
People can get it. It's just right on Amazon. It's a short book, very reasonably priced. There's a lot of resources in here. I give a lot of, I mean, I got into some theoretical stuff. Why should we learn history? How do I, you know, what does it mean to teach history as a Catholic? But some of the resources, how to memorize dates at different age groups, like if I want to get my elementary schoolers to memorize dates, or if I want my high schoolers to memorize dates, and not just that, but lists of the dates that should be memorized. So I gave people say, like, what dates should I memorize? Well, here's a big list of dates that you should memorize. Memorization dates and strategies. I have a whole chapter on how to teach history at different age groups, elementary, middle, and high school. And that includes pedagogy. That includes resources. That includes course materials, assignments, activities, instructional method. I got all that in there. I do have, it says on the front, includes reading lists, because that's what all the moms email me about. Yeah. So I have like 20 pages in here of just, you know, lists of books. I have grading rubrics for when you are grading kind of questions like, how do I grade a historical essay? How do I grade a poster project? You know, how do I put together something like that? So I have examples of how to structure those assignments and rubrics for how to grade them. So there's a lesson on how to deliver a lecture, like how to deliver a history lecture. There's a chapter on how to take notes for you and your student to understand what's the best way to take notes in a history lecture, how to highlight important information, you know. So it's just full of resource on everything that I have thought is important for putting together a successful history course. It even tells you, if you're teaching online, I got a brief rundown on the do's and don'ts of making a PowerPoint. So,
wow. So,
yeah. I just think this has everything that you need, at least all the major points.
Oh my gosh. I feel like this is going to take down a lot of the fear that we have, because this past year, obviously, a lot of people are new to homeschooling. They feel initially like they're in the wilderness, but there's so much help and support. There's you at Homeschool Connections, and I highly recommend Philip's courses. Your kids will really enjoy these courses, get lit up. He's kind of famous for it. And look at his books, look at this new resource. This is such an opportunity for us to let go of any intimidation we might have and to start to enjoy history with our children.
Yeah, the last thing we want is for it to be boring and dull. And this is our collective identity, you know, so we don't want to teach it in a way that is that makes kids be like, oh, history. I mean, that's the worst thing.
Yeah. My godchild, who's a young woman in her 30s now, she married a young man who grew up in the wilds of Ontario in Canada. And he grew up play acting with all his brothers, 14 kids. Building log cabins and reenacting battles and, you know, on their land. And so it sounds like you guys would get along.
That's the sort of people we want.
Yeah, exactly. Raised by two country lawyers.
Yeah. All right. I love, just to wrap it up, I the amount of parents and students at Homeschool Connections who have come back to me over the years and said, you know, my daughter hated history, and then I took your class and now she loves it. You know, that's great. And I'm really glad that I can just turn people on to this, this subject. So hopefully this book will just help spread the flame, you know?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Philip. This has been a ton of fun, and I know it's really going to be important to a lot of families, and God has his eye on everything that we do and the future heroes who will be born from this awareness of our own potential as children of God in the context of all that has come before us. And just, I really do see it in that big picture sense that what we do really matters.
It does. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us. And that's our show for today. Our program is sponsored by homeschoolconnections.com. Be sure to subscribe to Homeschooling Saints and leave us an honest review. God bless you, and thank you for joining us.